I'm so happy to be able to introduce our guest speakers. But first, I want to just introduce something about them and about why their ministry is so important. We know that from the moment of the fall, the enemy of our souls does his very best to hinder or block us and remove us or pull us away from the purpose that God created us for. But God had a solution. And we know that too, because he sent Jesus, who so willingly laid down his life for us. In fact, he forged his way to the cross. He wouldn't let anything block that, because he was determined that we might have freedom and walk in our original purposes. And so even as those who've been believers for a long time and those who've been believers for a short time, we can suddenly find that, what is it that's blocking me in my life? What is enabling this thing that I've been trying to deal with over and over and over to continue to be there? Or just the fact that we don't feel as close to the Lord as possible, what could be blocking it? And so the nature of this ministry is freedom. It's all about freedom. It's what Pastor Dan talked about this morning. And the fact is, Jesus just didn't come only to get us saved. He came to free us. And he proclaimed the Great Commission before he ascended to heaven. And he wants that commission to be fully at work in our own life, as well as the life of others and the nations. And so this ministry is all about equipping us and setting us free for freedom, that we might walk out the Great Commission, first in our own lives, and then that godly influence through us to help others and even to help nations find their identity in Christ. So today I'm introducing Winston and Pat Harvey. A few years ago, Apostle Clay asked George and I if we would go to Atlanta, Georgia and be trained, and they attend Jackie Tyre's church. And it was just such a privilege, because we had had a lot of experience in this type of ministry, but they were able to bring great revelation. And the tool that they use, which is called RTF, really has greatly increased the success of ministering to others. And I'm sure he'll perhaps talk about it even more. So Winston and Pat.
Thank you. Thank you, Pamela. Get everything up here. We're storing the foundations. We got introduced to that in 2010. And we said, what is a restoring the foundation? Having been elders, leaders in healing rooms, deliverance ministries. But as we got into it, God began to clean us up. Things that slipped under the radar for years were exposed. Restoring the foundations deals with generational curses, things we inherit from our ancestors. These are little children running around. They're awesome. They're so much fun to be around, so much fun to watch. But they have a sin nature and curses they were born with from their parents, grandparents, and ancestors. We all do. RTF helps you take those to the cross. And not just take them to the cross and be empty, but then receive God's blessing. We say, now declare this out loud for 30 days at least. Make it a part of you. It's what God gave you. Then ungodly beliefs. Things we believe that don't agree with God, his nature, his character, his word. And now I want to add his kingdom. like I'll never succeed. I'm a failure. I can't do that. God doesn't say you're going to fail. He doesn't say you can't succeed. He said, I made you a blessing. I made you a success. But those words we believe, those thoughts curse ourselves. And we help you take those to the cross. And like generational blessings, we don't want you to just be empty of what you believe wrong. We want you to get with God and receive what He says about you. We craft a godly belief that's your personality and relationship with God. Woundings to our heart. Bad things that happen, often in childhood. An overbearing parent. An overbearing teacher. Disappointments. Heartbreak. Luke 4:18, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And I saw that verse years ago and I said, that'd be awesome to experience that. Now God's letting me help others experience it. But not just bad things that happened. Good things that didn't happen. The promotion that didn't come through. In my working days, I applied for a promotion, a new job. I was the only candidate that met all the posted requirements. And a vice president said, give it to somebody else I like. A good thing didn't happen. That can hurt just as bad as a bad thing that does happen. Jesus comes to heal. And it's awesome to watch Him heal. All three of those areas form open doors that let Satan and his demons oppress us. Not possess us, but oppress us. Keep us pushed down. Keep us held back. And using the authority that you have as a believer in Christ and the name of Jesus, we command those demons one by one to leave. That's all done as a package ministry. It's got a framework, but it's flexible because it's Holy Spirit led. And Pamela, how many ministers are here now? About a dozen? They're about a dozen. Talk to Pamela, Nicole Heidelberg. They're awesome leaders. They'll set you up with someone who, a team of two who've been trained, who can minister to you with love, compassion, and most importantly, without judgment. And it's all confidential. Well, when Pamela said they wanted us to speak, I thought, well, good, we'll speak about RTF. God said, no. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. But now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Does anybody ever have a verse that just never set good with them? Or is it just me? I can take all of chapter 13, the first 12 verses about love. That's awesome. God is love. I can understand faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Abraham had faith. We read that by faith, Abraham obtained. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. All those great saints that are in the hall of faith. I love faith. We got to have it to please God. But hope? God, what's hope doing in there with faith and love? And I always had to just, okay, God, you wrote that, so I know it's right. But God, something just didn't right about it. And God showed me my problem. My hope was hope so, maybe so. We're going to the big game tonight. Hope they win. Hope so, maybe so. I hope something happens. My hope wasn't really what God showed, said hope is. When you have trouble with a verse, ask yourself, ask the Lord, am I seeing this verse the way you do? If I had understood hope for years, I would have embraced that verse like God wrote it. So if you're struggling with something, ask God, am I really understanding each word in this verse the way you wrote it? I was really reading that. Now abides faith, hope so, maybe so, and love. God showed me faith is the power or strength. Hope's the direction that faith is going. Consider a bow and arrow. You notch the arrow in the string. You pull the bow back. How far you pull the bow back determines how far that arrow goes. The strength you pull that bow, that string back, is faith. The direction you point that arrow is hope. Hope's the direction your faith is going. Hope so, maybe so, doesn't send the arrow in the right direction. I had to repent. So I got out the New Spirit-Filled Bible by Jack Hayford, my go-to reference Bible. Looked up hope in the Hebrew. T-I-Q-V-A-H, and I won't begin to try to pronounce it. Strong's 8615, if you want to write that down. Hope, expectation, something yearned for and anticipated eagerly. That lets out hope so, maybe so. Nothing eager about that. Something for which one waits. It comes from the verb Q-A-V-A-H, meaning to wait for, to look hopefully in a particular direction. Its original meaning was to stretch a rope. T-I-Q-V-A-H occurs 33 times. And in Joshua 2, 18 and 21, it is translated cord or rope. Rahab tied a scarlet hope in her window. She put out hope that she would be saved. Wow. I'll never read that verse again the same. I'm putting this scarlet hope up here that I will not be slaughtered by the invading Israelites. We've trembled and feared for 40 years. Wow, whole new meaning to hope. And the spies said, unless you tie this hope in the window, and you and your family abide in the room of hope, you won't be saved. Think about that for our life. We need to abide in hope. In Psalm 71, verse 5, Yahweh himself is the hope of the godly. In Hosea 2, God gives the valley of Achor as a door of hope. There's a door of hope. We walk through doors. Are we to walk into hope? For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. God is our hope. We're to hope in him. Psalm 71. In the Greek, the word is ELPIS, Strong's 1680. And it means confident expectation with a sure basis. Confidence in your expectation with a sure basis, a sure foundation. Not in the sense of an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation, but in the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty. Biblical hope rests in God's promises. I love Apostle Clay's 2:22 prayer call, praying from hope, from his promises. His promises are yes and amen. That's our hope. It should be yes and amen, not hope so, maybe so. It goes on to say that so certain is Christ's return that in the New Testament, the future is often spoke of as present or past tense. It's happened. It is sure. Hope is never inferior to faith, but is an extension of faith. Faith is the present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in God, in grace's future. In restoring the foundations, dealing with ungodly beliefs, we teach something called the belief expectation cycle. Our experiences shape and form our belief system. If I'm rejected, put down, I'm going to form a belief I'm unworthy and rejected. Then that belief shapes my expectation. I go to meet somebody and I expect they're going to reject me and see me as unworthy. And that expectation shapes my behavior. I walk in the room rejected. And then they reject me because I've already rejected myself. And that behavior and experience shapes my experience, which strengthens my belief. Yep, I'm rejected. I'm like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. And God showed me hope is like expectation. Our beliefs shape what we're hoping for. In essence, the person who's rejected believes they're rejected. They hope they'll be rejected this afternoon. They go to that meeting and they're rejected. Change the way you're thinking to change your hope. As I was preparing for this, I was amazed how many verses God talks about hope. And it's never a hope so, maybe so. It's a sure hope. Romans 8. We all know about Romans 8. All things work together for good. But there's more to Romans 8 than that. And they do work together for good. Pat asked me, are you going to prepare a PowerPoint? No, I don't think I have time. I'm not sure I want to do that. And the devil began to beat me up. You're nothing. You're not prepared right. You should have had a PowerPoint. Found out this morning the projector's broken. Glad I didn't waste my time. So there, devil. In verse 23 of Romans 8, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. We were saved in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? I don't hope I have this water. I have it. I hope we'll have some on the drive home. And I know we will. That's a confident, sure hope. It's not a hope so, maybe so. I put the water in the truck myself. But I don't have to hope for this bottle. I have it. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we eagerly wait, knowing a hope in Christ is sure. It is firm, it's yes and amen. In 2 Corinthians, well, in the book of Acts, and it's we see it lived out. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about all his affliction. He was beaten, imprisoned, stoned, left for dead. I mean, that'd ruin your whole day right there. Shipwrecked. Taken to Rome knowing he would be beheaded. Man, that could just make you depressed. But he wasn't dejected. He wasn't put down. Paul was not crushed or despairing because he had hope. He had hope that things would work out. Now, I'm sure he wanted it to work out where they said, Paul, go free and preach the gospel and here's some Roman financing to do it. Just go. But God had other plans. But Paul was close enough to God and in Christ to let all things work together for good, to let that be his hope. I would have been dejected and depressed. And Winston's definition of depression is a state of hopelessness. When you don't have hope, you're depressed. Get hope. Romans 15. Now may God, the fountain of hope. Fountains bubble up. They overflow. They bubble up. I want my hope to bubble up. In verse, it ends with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. We should radiate with hope. As Christians, we should be overflowing fountain radiating with hope. And why don't we? Things clog it up. to set our belief system. If we're depressed, if we don't see God's victory in something, we need to go to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And not just religiously quote it, but let it be a part of us to get hope. In our backyard, we have a small little, we call it the pond. It's about 3 feet across and a foot deep, buried at ground level, and a little pump in it. We have a little fountain squirting up that we like to hear and watch. And the bird and the deer and the critters come and drink water. But every so often, leaves fall in and trash gets in, and the pump gets clogged. I've got to go out, scrape them off the pump intake. It's just a little small pump, nothing big. Then it starts a fountain again. What's clogging your hope? What trash is in the intake filter of you hearing God to have hope? Holy Spirit wants to deal with that and cleanse it and set you to where you can have a fountain of hope, where you can be a fountain of hope. I can look at things in our nation and get depressed. So much corruption. So much being what I read in Proverbs and Psalms and throughout the Word, an abomination to God. But if you hang around people with hope, you'll get hope. Dutch Sheets, I just got to love that man. He comes to our living room almost every morning. Well, give him 15 does. I feel like he's part of our family. And he always says, America shall be saved. I think, Dutch, how can you have that hope? But the more I hang around him and give him 15, the more his hope is infecting me. Hang around people with hope, and you'll get hope. Clean off your filter system. Clean the leaves and debris and the trash off. Those little nagging sins you put up with. Those little things. Talk to Nicole and Pamela. Get them to set you up with RTF. We want the God of hope to fill us with all peace and joy so we can abound in hope. Naaman, a heathen. The little girl said, Naaman, go to Israel. The prophet will tell you something. He said, dip in the Jordan. But in the voice, it says, Naaman became hopeful. He heard the prophet, and he was hopeful. Listen to your prophetic words. I'm so glad you record them and send them out. We do that at City Gate Atlanta. Those prophetic words can be the basis for you building hope. Read his word. I head down here, defilement produces hopelessness. Naaman was defiled and hopeless. But the prophetic word says there's hope in the Jordan. Without hope, you'll have cynicism and apathy. It's so easy to let that overwhelm us. Doesn't take a very deep look at Washington or any government in this nation, and you can become hopeless. God, I want that exposed. And God showed me this morning as I was sitting there, it's being exposed. But think of Goliath as the corruption and the underhandedness. He stood up and was exposed, and the King Saul and Israel army did nothing. And he was exposed, the corruption, just taunting those in authority who should have dealt with it, and they did nothing. It took David, a shepherd boy, to come say, who is that uncircumcised Philistine to stand up against the God of Israel and defy the God of Israel and his ordinances? We need a David who will slay the giant before us, not just expose it. Corruption is being exposed. Let's pray. David's there to slay the giant. And that's not in my notes anywhere. Colossians 1:27. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us is hope. We should abound in hope because Christ is in us. I may not get that material thing I wanted, but should our hope be in Christ? He's fine with you having material things, and you can hope in them, but put your main hope in Christ. Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. And he goes on in verse 5, hope does not disappoint. Twice in that passage, he uses the word exalt. E-X-U-L-T. I said, God, that's not a word I use very often. Probably use it when I read Romans 5. That's about it. So I looked it up. To show or feel a lively or triumphant joy. Rejoice exceedingly. Be highly elated or jubilant. So we will show and feel a lively, triumphant joy, rejoicing exceedingly, highly elated and jubilant in hope. That's my amplified version. We should be excited about hope. Not a hope so, maybe so. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. God said, my hope so, maybe so, was there so I wouldn't have hope and it wouldn't be deferred and my heart wouldn't be sick. I was protecting myself by not having hope. I didn't want to risk it. But hope in Christ, God's hope that he breathes in us is yes and amen, and it should be sure and we should lean on it. Embrace it. What was that? Exceedingly joyfully. Elated, jubilant. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil. Hope is an anchor to our soul. Hope so, maybe so, won't anchor very good. God said, if you go down the street a couple of miles, you'll come to the Mississippi River. You can put your fishing boat in and anchor it. If you've got an anchor that's a hope so, maybe so anchor, you're going to find yourself fishing in Nolens before you know it. You want an anchor that's sure, steadfast, one founded in Christ. Hebrews 11:1, the chapter on faith. Oh, good God, we're getting to faith. I can take faith. I'm good with faith. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There you go, God, putting hope in this verse, in this chapter. New King James says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And God said, look at this verse different. I've looked at it from faith and skipped over the rest. He said, look at it from the basis of hope. Faith is the substance of hope. Hope has substance. Our hope should have substance, which is Christ and his promises. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God's giving us a hope. I want God's hope. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. As we rejoice in hope, we can persevere tribulation. I'm sure Paul rejoiced in hope. Even in Philippians, we read about all the corrupt preachers that were coming, preaching to torment Paul, to undermine Paul. And he said, but I hope and I rejoice, nevertheless, Christ is preached. Paul had a hope that's way beyond my hope, but I want to get there. So our belief system can be an enemy to hope. Our lack of understanding what God says about hope can be an enemy to hope. Feeling that we're victim, depression, we just want to escape, or we have grief. All of those have hopelessness that come with them. If we're downcast, get in the Word and get hope. If faith is the substance of hope, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, get in His Word. And as you get faith, you'll get hope. Hope's the direction your faith's going. Hang around people that have hope. Dutch Sheets, America Shall Be Saved, is rubbing off on me. I'm getting infected with it. I want to nurture it, let it grow up. I can be around my wife. She's so full of faith and hope. Sometimes I want to say, how can you keep having hope? but she does. Exuberant, overflowing hope. And it infects me. Pick friends that can build hope in you. And as you get hope, pick friends you can pour hope into who need their hope built up. Don't just receive. Give back out. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude says, building up your faith, praying in the Spirit. If faith is the assurance of hope, the steadfastness of hope, pray in the Spirit to build your faith, and that will build your hope. Don't let the world overcome you. Don't let depression overwhelm you. Let that hope rise up. And if you're like me, and your definition of hope was hope so, maybe so, change it to hope that's yes and amen. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in me, a great expectation of good things. Christ in us is an expectation of good things. There may be tribulation. There may be affliction. But we don't have to be oppressed. We can walk in hope. Hope of glory. Israel were slaves in Egypt. And God said, I'm taking you out, Moses. You're leading them out into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey where there's freedom. That's hope. Where did that hope lead them? To the Red Sea, with Pharaoh on one side and the Red Sea on the other. They had to hope in God. And he parted the Red Sea. Then they had to go through the wilderness. Quite often, the way out of our situation to the land of hope leads through impossible situations in the wilderness. God, I think he delights in us going up against impossible situations so we can hope in him. And the wilderness, so we can persevere and build up hope. Trust in his promise. But his plans weren't the wilderness forever. His plans weren't to drown in the Red Sea. Years ago, we were in Boca Raton, Florida, training a Messianic congregation in restoring the foundations. We went to their Saturday morning Sabbath service. And there, a grandmotherly type woman laid out a scroll in Hebrew, and the little children, 4, 5, 6 years old, ran up around the table and she taught them. She read out of Exodus 14, the parting of the Red Sea. And she said, when our forefathers crossed through the Red Sea, and I just melted and Pat melted, those little four-year-olds, ancestors, forefathers, walked through the Red Sea. And that just blew us away. They lived it. And they had hope because they persevered. They faced oppression. In fact, Israel had hope all those years of slavery. They'd be a deliverer. Rahab told the two spies, for 40 years, we've known your God was with you and we were going to be wiped out. That was kind of a hope They knew it was going to happen. It wasn't in a good outcome like we want. But in essence, that's what hope was. Only we can have a good outcome because of Christ. Of assuredness out of an excellent outcome. But they knew for an assurance what would happen. We should know for an assurance Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, if Holy Spirit's putting his finger on you for something holding up hope, come up here and get right with him. If you just need an extra measure of hope, if you say, Lord, I had a hope so. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Who cares? I want a sure foundation of hope. Just let him renew your hope. Change your mindset. Lord, we ask that we wouldn't be the same, but we'd have hope. We wouldn't have sails with holes in it. We wouldn't have an anchor that doesn't hold, but we'd have hope. Hope that you define. Hope like you speak it. Hope that is an assurance. Hope that we can read now abides faith, hope, and love. And say, I'm excited, exuberant, that I have hope in the sure outcome of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.